is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Shaw Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It is Sunday, and you know what that means. It's time for The Fantasy Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Hop into Easter with us, folks. Happy Easter. Andy McNamara alongside Shaw Ali, getting ready to go over some fantasy baseball, fantasy football, fantasy wrestling, little USFL. Why the heck not? We're gonna do some USFL fantasy. Who's with me, Show? An Easter edition with a new football league that'll probably go defunct before the year is out.
I honestly didn't even know the USFL was still around. I didn't know it still existed.
It didn't until like a couple months ago.
Okay, well, there you go. My entire experience, honestly, with the USFL has been, I read this book by, I think it was Jeff Perlman, who has written a lot of really famous sports books. I think most recently his book Winning Time or Showtime was turned into that Winning Time HBO show about the rise of the Lakers in the 70s with like Jerry Buss and the Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and so on. And so his book was kind of adapted into that. And I guess they've optioned his next book about like Kobe and Shaq and the Lakers and so on. Anyway, so Jeff Perlman wrote a book about the USFL and how it like relates to Donald Trump and the rise and fall of the league. It's it's fascinating. So you know what? I am like, just like kind of interested in the USFL.
Well, it's I don't know about you, Show. I'm getting XFL vibes off of like the team names, sort of like the forced hype. It's like it's here. It's like, oh, okay. And like anything else, I hope it thrives and survives, because the more football, the more options there are for players
football!
To perform. That's right, yelling football at the screen for no reason. It's good. It's a good thing for players and for fans if it works. But we've just seen so recently the Alliance of American Football League not make it through a full season. The XFL full. Now, you blame COVID on that. COVID gave Vince McMahon a stunner and counted him out for that one. And now the USFL that was originally around in, founded in 1983, with 18 teams, and it went from 83 to 85. And yeah, Donald Trump owned the New Jersey Generals because the NFL would not let him in as an owner. How about that?
Andy, there is an alternate reality where Donald Trump never became the president of the United States because he became the owner of the Buffalo Bills. That's like an alternate reality that I bet is not that far from our own, honestly.
No. Like, you see then the Buffalo Bills, like, eight Super Bowls, best team ever. They got Brady somehow, and it's all just, it was the Bills, not the Patriots the whole time, because Donald Trump never became president and owned the Bills. You know what, that's fun history to think about. Like, man. If the NFL, so you can blame the NFL ownership group and the commissioner front office at the time for making Donald Trump the president of the United States. I think we can connect those dots. Direct responsibility, Show.
And then in that case, the ripple effect would be that Josh Allen was a Cleveland Brown, and then he never became successful.
Oh, well, actually, that probably would have happened. That probably would have happened because, yeah, he would have had Hugh Jackson and all that nonsense there. But, yeah, that's apparently the only reason I found out about it was because it randomly came across my Twitter timeline. Like, somebody I follow, I guess, liked it.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, yeah. And apparently they played yesterday, and there are some more games today. So there you go. It's based out of Alabama.
Can you name one team, like not the location, but the name of a team from the USFL?
Well, I can, because I just looked at the website. To be perfectly honest. Can you?
No, I can't. I don't even think I can name one team. I know there's a team in Michigan, but I think that's as far as it goes for me.
There's the Birmingham Stallions.
That's a cool
there's
name,
the
actually.
Tampa Bay Bandits. That seems XFL-y.
Yeah, okay.
There's the New Jersey Generals. They brought back the actual New Jersey Generals name, which is kind of cool. from the original USFL. So that's kind of neat.
Do you think that the New Jersey Generals, Andy, were like just praying and hoping that when the Washington Commanders were rebranding, they just like, please, God, please don't use the name Generals, please.
don't use the Generals. It's one of those, like, you know, video game created names that just show up, right? Like Generals, Commanders. A pretty standard.
The Tundra, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. The Heat, something, right? Like
the Heat's a real name. It's the name of a real franchise.
It's the name of a bat. I'll say for like football, like if it's a generic football game, one it is. But yeah, obviously it's the Miami Heat. So, but I'm just trying to look at the website's not great. Show. I'm just looking. It's not great. It's not a great site. I just want to know the team names. I can't even really find. Oh, here we go. Houston Gamblers. That's kind of neat.
Okay.
Logo sucks. You could have done way better with a game. It's a G with a star. That's terrible. Michigan Panthers, because of the native panther population in Michigan.
Okay.
Philadelphia Stars. Okay.
All right.
New Orleans Breakers with a wave pitcher. Not maybe the best thing with hurricanes and whatnot, but, you know. And
yeah, I assume... The New Orleans Breakers are like the things that like failed, right? I mean, why would you want to name your team after those things?
That
right?
gave way.
Yeah.
that did not do what they were supposed to do. And the last one, the Pittsburgh Maulers. So you got two Pennsylvania teams. Yeah, so a little, you know, mix and match. Some traditional NFL cities, some not. And they play today. So, folks, what my point is, really, long-winded way of saying, in the last segment, we're going to do our fantasy wrestling, but also our random DraftKings USFL DFS contest. Who's ready? Are you gonna man up? Are you gonna put down Kyle Sloter? Kyle Sloter is your quarterback for the New Orleans Breakers. Are you gonna take that risk, Joe?
Yeah, I'm looking at the DraftKings lineup here. I think I see old Paxton Lynch. I think
Ew.
I see Paxton Lynch. He's like the quarterback there for the Michigan Panthers. I think Paxton Lynch might be might be my pick today.
Oh, what about your guy? Now, Jordan Tamu, wasn't he with your old XFL team, the Vipers? Wasn't he
really
a quarterback
Gosh.
There?
If he was. He's got to be. Hey, look, he plays for the Tampa Bay Bandits, so maybe he just lives in Tampa, and they were like, hey, you want to play for a different non-NFL team? And he was like, okay, sure. I might as well. Do I have to move? No? Okay. Sure. Why not?
I have no other option. You got yourself a player.
Todd Haley is the coach of the Tampa Bay Bandits.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that was a tumble from grace for Mr. Haley. Yeah. Now I'm telling you, folks, don't count out Case Cookus for Philadelphia Stars either. So we'll get into the hot USFL talk. Kyle Laletta. He was on the Browns last year.
Huh. Well, I definitely will not. I will not be picking him. Definitely.
Kyle Laletta is with the. He is with the Pittsburgh Maulers. Interesting.
Oh, boy.
Well, it's kind of that XFL feel, right? You get guys floating around. Hopefully, but you know what? To the credit, like remember the XFL? PJ Walker was amazing in that league and has turned it into. Now he's not a very good NFL backup, but an NFL backup quarterback job.
That's like you know what him. That is what these guys can probably like at the highest level. It's probably what they would hope to achieve. I would imagine, right? Like kind of hanging on as like the last 53 man roster guy.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? We have seen and gone over on this show the success you can have if you can just hang on, kind of stay under the radar, and just float for like a decade as an NFL backup or third string quarterback. You can make a good living and not get hit. Right? Clipboard Jesus.
Speaking of Easter.
Clipboard
yeah,
Jesus.
Charlie Whitehurst.
Yeah. That guy made like $15 million.
I want to be him when I grow up.
Good on him. Absolutely. Well, we should all be so lucky. You got the beautiful mane of hair. You can tie that up into whatever type of cut you want. A ponytail. If man buns come back in, you can man bun it. Do whatever you like. And then you can say, I'm an NFL quarterback. You're like, wow. And then as long as nobody has any follow-up questions, you look cool.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I mean, let's
talk about specifics.
If you're a backup NFL quarterback, Andy, that must mean you are at like worst, you are what? Like a top 50 quarterback in the world, probably, right?
Probably 64, I guess, max. Yeah.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah. That's, you know what? All joking aside, you're back even third string. If you are even on somehow an NFL practice squad, you are better than 99% of all athletes in the world. So, or any football players, I guess, in the world. So, hey, you know what? We can make fun. They're laughing because they're making millions of bucks, and we're doing a show at 8 a.m. Eastern on Easter Sunday. So, you know, who wins in the end? Who wins in the end? Charlie Whitehurst does. That's the real winner, folks. But we'll get into a fun USFL DraftKings contest. Our Drop the Belt fantasy wrestling a little bit later on. It's a big weekend in wrestling. My goodness, you had, it was championship week in AEW. You had Battle of the Belts 2 last night. You had a world title match on Rampage Friday. Great Dynamite show, so we'll talk about that. Our roster picks. Listener League, that's your chance where you can win some pizza prizes. We'll open up the text line 590-590 and on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. If you want to be our wrestling guest listener GM for Team Outsiders, we'll release that a little bit later on. But, show, let's sort of swing around. We got some NFL news in a couple minutes. But you look at the Blue Jays, and there was a great article put up on Sportsnet.ca by our own Shai Davidi on, is it time to be a little concerned about Hyunjin Ryu going back to last year? His last 10 starts last year, the velocity way down this year too. Only April, couple starts, whatever. But show, is this to you, when you're looking at Hyunjin Ryu and the issues going back from last year, a case of, okay, it was a shortened spring training and he's going to work it out, or kind of a wipe of the brow of like, phew, I'm glad we're not relying on him as our ace right now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, he at this stage of his career, and you have guys like Jose Berríos and Kevin Gausman and Alek Manoah, frankly, I mean, I think it does lessen the need for Hyunjin Ryu to be the number, like, a top two starter on this team, because he's not anymore, but you don't need him to be, right? Like, I mean, I think there was a situation where that could have arisen where he, like, maybe could, like, he maybe would have been asked to be, but he's not going to be asked to be, right? So that's one thing that's good, at least. But I mean, you watch what he was doing last night. Like, I was actually at the ballpark yesterday, Andy. I was in the booth with Ben Wagner, and I was watching the game. And Hyunjin Ryu, he was getting hit hard from the jump. Honestly, right? Like he there was a couple of innings he got out unscathed, but for the most part, I think he gave up 6 hits, 5 earned runs. And the Blue Jays came back, to their credit, right? There was a Matt Chapman 2-run bomb. There was Zach Collins. He hit his first home run as a Blue Jay. All that stuff was fantastic. But, boy, Hyunjin Ryu, I mean, I just, the velocity stuff you mentioned, like the decreasing velocity, it's concerning. I mean, Ryu has never really been a flamethrower, right? Like, he's never he's always been that guy who's deception and nibbling around the strike zone and different kinds of pitches and, you know, kind of tricks you into swinging and missing and all sorts of stuff, right? But he was missing the strikes. And, I mean, look, the strike zone yesterday was bad, too. Let's be real. Like, the umpiring was not good.
Oh,
but at the same time, boy, yeah. Hyunjin Ryu, like, he just, I don't know, man. He I don't know if you heard, but he actually left the game, I think after 4 innings. Trent Thornton came in the 5th and 6th, and then after the game, Charlie Montoya actually said that he had left forearm tightness, which is, I mean, that's, yeah. you never want to hear that for any pitcher, but I mean, given that Ryu actually missed time with an injury last year, it's not what you want to hear at all.
No, and when we look at Hyunjin Ryu, like you said, Joe, at this point in his career, so we remember the big signing of the 4-year deal. Year one in 2020, great. Last year, up until the last little bit of the year, very good. Now is it the last 2 years? And this is sort of what we expected. I think we were all hoping, like, okay, maybe because he isn't, like you said, a flamethrower, that he can keep it going, and maybe we see that fall off in the last year. So you'd hope that he can at least, you know, this isn't like a cliff fall for Hyunjin Ryu, and you know, he gets the forearm sorted and whatever, and comes back to being a good mid to bottom level starter for the Blue Jays in that rotation. I think if you can have him show as like just the guy who's going to be steady, you know what I mean? He's not going to lose you the game. He might not come out and be as dominant as he was before, but just a good, solid veteran piece, that's fine. What you don't want is to still be on the hook for 20 mil this year, 20 mil next year, and he's just unusable. We're a long way away from getting to that point. But that's sort of the hope, especially in this year when the Blue Jays have real, you know, division winning and playoff hopes.
Well, it's just funny, right? Because you look at the way the Blue Jays have lined up their starting rotation, and I think they know that he's not, maybe not that he's not 100%, but that maybe he's not fully ready at this point. Because here's the other thing, right? He had COVID right before spring training, because when it looked like the league was going to get locked out for, you know, until now, essentially, right? Because remember there was talk, you and I were talking about it, remember there was talks about how, like, the league wouldn't start until June or something like that, with all the lockout stuff? And thank goodness that's not the case, but essentially what ended up happening was he went back home to South Korea. He was practicing with his former team in the KBO, mainly just to stay in shape, and, you know, his family is there. He and his wife and his young kid went back there. And then while he was there, he got COVID. And so he was, like, obviously laid up from, you know, like, actually doing any baseball activities because he was sick. So he didn't really do anything for about 2 weeks. Then he went to Dunedin for spring training. And in spring training action in Florida, you know, like, they play in the Grapefruit League, and the Yankees are a part of the Grapefruit League. So he was kind of, like, hidden from the Yankees in the spring training action. And as a result, he didn't really pitch too much, like, period, essentially, right? Like, in spring training. So his first start of the year, which I guess was against the Rangers, wasn't really, like, he didn't throw the ball all that much. And, I mean, he didn't look great in the, like, very, I think it was, like, the very last inning of that game against the Rangers. And then today, or I guess yesterday, he didn't really look all that great either. So part of me wonders if he's still, to a degree, getting built back up, right? Still kind of just getting... Essentially, these are two spring training starts, and I wonder if we're having a different conversation come, I don't know, man, like in what? Like in beginning of May, maybe, let's say, for Hyunjin Ryu to be a little more built up. Maybe that's what happens,
stretch
but again...
Him out.
Yeah, so I'm not 100% concerned, but I, you know, it's a little eye opening to see him get hit around so hard last night or yesterday afternoon, because, like, the Athletics, and this is the other half of it, is that this is not a good Athletics team, right? This is
no.
One of the worst teams in the American League. Like, they basically traded away everyone. And I mean, hey, look, that home run that Christian Pache hit at the very end of the game, what a monster home run
he hit against
Julian Merriweather. But at the same time, I mean, there was no real reason why this pitching staff couldn't hold them all down. And I mean, heck, after Ryu came out of the game, I guess it was Thornton, Phelps, and Garcia did hold them down, right? And enough for the Blue Jays to come back, but I am like a teensy tiny concerned, especially again, Montoyo, left forearm tightness. I mean, like, I guess the reason it concerns me really quickly, Andy, is just that you look back to last year, and so many pitchers, when they crack down on the substance stuff, right, the sticky tack and all that stuff, a lot of these pitchers said that, like, they were gripping the ball differently because of the you know, they had to, like, find a new way to hold the ball when they're throwing it. And Tyler Glass now basically blamed the injury on his new grip when he, like, I think he tore his ulnar or something or other in his elbow, and he had to get Tommy John surgery or whatever it was. And Ryu had some issues with that as well. And, I mean, maybe the layoff and not a lot of spring training starts and, you know, getting pushed back into action really quickly is a contributor to that. But, man, like, it's tough, right? Because in the reality, Ryu would be your number four starter. But you can't have two lefties and Ryu and Kikuchi go back-to-back, right? So you have to split them up, which is why Manoah is going today and not didn't pitch yesterday.
Oh, my boy, Manoah. Let's go. Rookie card, auto. Autograph rookie sitting right there in my office show waiting. 1-0. I think we have a flawless record, like a under 2 ERA, Cy Young year for Alek Manoah, and old Andy sells the Manoah rookie card for a hefty profit. Who's with me?
Here's my question, Andy. Here's my question. Let's just say he wins the Cy Young this year, right?
Oh,
would it not be better to just hold on to his card, like, forever then?
As a young boy, I made that mistake when John Allrude rookie card, Upper Deck rookie card, I held on to, and I thought the sky was the limit when he had that batting title in, what was it, 93, you know, and I had his rookie card show. And it went up to $14. Now, remember, folks, that's 1993 $14, right?
Sure,
that's
okay.
We're talking,
that's
what, like $20
today.
$20, $25 with inflation. Who knows, right? Absolutely. So I thought $14, where clearly John Allroot is the best baseball player who ever played, thought 12-year-old Andy, and Hall of Fame future. Well, didn't quite work out that way, and now you can get a John Allroot Upper Deck rookie card for maybe $2. So decreased in value. That's why, Joe, you got in the card business, you got to strike when it's hot. You got to feed off the emotion. You're like, Manoah's amazing, and just like yell like through the computer, like yell like ah, like use like the bang and fire emojis and stuff like that. And people are like, whoa, and like confuse, distract, and then like $1,000, and then boom, you get your Manoah card.
All right, Eddie, look, I have a membership. I have a membership to PSA. Okay, so if I'll make you a deal, if Alec Manoah wins the Cy Young, give me your Manoah card, and I'll send it in with my next batch of cards to get graded, and then you can sell it as a PSA card.
That's amazing. Now, what's the backlog? Because I heard, like, during COVID, I heard the backlog was, like 10 months, like almost a year.
There's a little bit of a backlog. Like, I think the last time I sent in cards, I sent in, like, 5 cards, and I got them back within, I think, 2 months, I think. It wasn't too bad.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, well, I think they've cleared a lot of the backlog. They have, I think.
Okay. I'll send that in maybe my Nate Pearson card, too. Interesting. Okay.
The Pearson one might be worth a little less, Andy, unfortunately.
I'm bullish, long term. Such a pretty card. Long-term hold. Real quick on the strike zone show. In Shai Davidi's article again, if you want to like make yourself angry on an Easter morning, folks,
check out
this article and the strike zone picture and the called strikes. Disgusting. Disgusting. When can we just do away with these awful home plate umpires? In my opinion, show the worst officiating in all of sport is baseball. The home plate umpires are the most arrogant, they're the lousiest overall, and they're just a pain in the butt, and they think they're the show. Give me robot umpires, please. Put the robot camera. You already have the technology of showing on the TV if the ball is a ball or a strike. It's right there. I don't need some 50-something-year-old dude wanting to show off his strike call and try to get on a highlight show. Get out of here. You suck. You're screwing up the game, and it's been too long. Give me the robot umpires.
Okay, first of all, Santos, I hope you are cutting that strike call right now. If that's not a drop on future episodes of the Fantasy Show, we have failed as a program, frankly, because that's fantastic. That makes my morning.
Got me fired up.
But hey, I wholeheartedly agree with you, Andy. That was an atrocious, abysmal strike zone yesterday. There's actually like a – I don't know if you've ever seen it, Andy. There's this great Twitter account. It's at UMP scorecards on Twitter. They have like 180,000 followers, and you'll see. I'm sure someone you follow follows them because they're very popular. They put out these like very nice little graphics, and it has like the strike zone, and it has like the kind of heat map of where the pitches fell. It's really cool, I gotta say, and it shows people like how many runs a team would have lost because of poor umping. And I gotta say, they haven't put out yesterday's games yet. I think they're probably still working on it. But boy, I think I can only imagine Blue Jays fans are gonna be glued to that Twitter feed just to see, like, just to be, you know, vindication, right? Just to see what it's like, because holy smokes! Now I gotta say, when Charlie Montoyo, he had enough, right? Like towards the end of the game, he clearly had enough. He walked out of the dugout, and he wanted all the smoke from the home plate umpire. The home plate umpire wanted nothing to do with Montoyo. There was even a point where he turned away from Charlie. He turned away from him, started walking back towards home plate. I think Chapman was at bat, and Chapman kind of just slowly, like, the parents are arguing. He like slowly walks away, and then Charlie, like, he even gets the umpire to turn around, and he was in that guy's face. Like, I gotta say, last year we got so many texts on Jays Talk and on any of our stations about how Charlie needed to be like, we need more fire from Charlie.
Fire.
We need him to see him. We want him to get angry more, Charlie. And you know what? Hey, I hope you were satisfied, because I got to say that he got ejected and he walked back to the dugout, and the entire crowd, like sitting above the Blue Jays dugout, got up and applauded him. Like they were really jacked up. They were happy, because I think there was not a single Blue Jays fan in that stadium yesterday that was pleased with the strike zone.
He's pretty chill. Like, if you're getting Charlie that angry, you've done something, right? Like he's more of a mellow guy. So it was awful. What's that Twitter account show you said? Umpire what? Auditor?
Yeah, it's at Umps, UMP. Or I guess, okay, I think it's UMP, actually. Yeah, UMP, UMP scorecards. Yeah.
Scorecards.
They're great. Like, they have some great graphics. It just, it's all like visualized in a very like easily digestible way. For you to understand how the game maybe has swung because of whatever happened with the umpires, essentially.
Are they making money off this? This seems like a lot of work.
I would hope so. I hope so.
Jeez. It's a pretty basic website. I don't see any sponsors on. Man, if you're doing that for free, God bless you. That's a better man than I.
Andy does nothing for free. I'll be like, hey, Andy, you have time to have a phone call? I want to talk to you about, hey,
billable hours.
I'll give you a 5-minute show.
billable hours. You got to charge for nothing for free, folks. Nothing for free. That's what you got to do. Let's talk a little Leafs here and Raptors lost. Leafs. When you look at what is their show? 7 games left in the season, right?
Yeah, not a lot of games.
Like what's really frustrating is, of course, Maple Leafs, you know, fans luck. Leafs are just having this phenomenal year overall, great stretch, and still they're probably going to play Tampa Bay.
I know, right? Round. God, that sucks. I just can't. I can't believe
that really
it. Like
sucks.
It, I know. It's just like, give me a break. Like, I dare say for the first time in like the Austin Matthews era, let's call it, like going back to the year, they were all rookies and they lost to the Capitals in the first round. And I mean, most of those games were close, right? It was like, what? It was a 5 or 6 game series in the end, but like 4 of the 5 games or 5 of the 6 games or whatever ended up being were all single goal games in overtime, right? Like it was, that game could have easily flipped either way based on the puck bouncing a couple of different ways, right? And you look back, I can't believe that how many years ago that was, but you look back to then, and I honestly think that this version of the Leafs, with all the peripheral changes they made with guys like Bunting, and I mean, Kasha has been a little banged up, but they made the trade for Giordano and he looks pretty good, the overtime winner last night, right? Like all the changes they've made, I kind of like them, right? Sure, the goaltending still a little not great, but generally speaking, I feel like this is the team's best chance to get out of the first round in years. They're gonna play the Lightning. That stinks.
That, like, you know what? Like, I would much rather take my chance than try to squash the demon that is the Boston Bruins, you know, than take on Tampa Bay. Yeah, just like that's rough. And then it comes down to, you got a great team. Well, Tampa Bay, overall, are they better? Yeah, probably. And so if you lose, then how do you assess this whole season going forward? Because ultimately, Joe, what I think we have to get our minds around, too, is if it depends what you think this team is. If you think this team is ready to go, and it depends how the front office evaluates it, if they think they're a championship level or a deep playoff contending team, then you have to win tough series. It might come in the first round. Tampa Bay, I guarantee you, Tampa Bay's front office and their few legitimate fans are concerned. You know, they're like, okay, hey, we'll go in and beat anybody. That's how we have to get to. Not like, oh, well, they were really good and we lost. Well, you're supposed to be really good. You're supposed to be really good. So you have to beat really good teams. And it just stinks that it's the first round. But hey, you know what? Leafs had their chance last year in the first round. They blew it big time. Now you got to try to overcome. And maybe, show, maybe it's just, you just need that one little break, that one little, a weird bounce in game 7 versus Tampa Bay goes off someone's head and into the net and you win. And then maybe all the pressure is away and that's how we go on a deep run. But that's a lot of what ifs.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a lot. It's just like, you look at the goaltending, and I mean, you can look at compare any position group for the Leafs and the Lightning, and I would still say, like, in a chunk of ways, the Leafs would win. But I mean, when you have guys like Braden Point and Nikita Kucherov and Victor Hedman, it's hard to say those guys. Like, those guys aren't scrubs, obviously,
no.
Right? Those guys are. I just named 3 of the best players in the NHL, essentially, right? And then on top, what really worries me is in the playoffs where things get clamped down. Right. When things get shut down, offense is at a premium. It kind of feels like the refs swallow their whistles a little more. We all know that happens. Right. And this is a very prolific goal scoring Toronto Maple Leafs club. And I mean, I think by and large, if no one gets injured again, I think they'll probably have success, but I mean, they won 5-4 last night. They were scoring goals. Like, they were putting up 6 and 5 goals in every game going back for the last month, it felt like at times. And I just, how often is that going to happen? Not just in the playoffs, because I feel like it's the answer to that question is not a lot, but how often is that going to happen in the playoffs against Andrei Vasilevskiy, right? I mean, the guy's like the best goaltender on planet Earth, probably, right? I mean, he's like a perennial Vezina guy, and he's like one of the few goaltenders in the NHL who you can like legitimately say can steal you a series because he's Andrei Vasilevskiy. Like, I don't know if you would necessarily say that about like Jeremy Swayman for the Bruins, or would you say that about, I mean, maybe you could maybe say it about Bobrovsky with the Panthers, but I think he's had some struggles, right? Could you say that about Freddie Anderson? Tristan Jarry has a broken foot now, apparently, for Pittsburgh. He's week to week. Like, I guess you could say that about Shesterkin for New York, but I mean, you can just look up and down the lists of the teams in the Eastern Conference. It's like Vasilevskiy as like a clear number one, and he's the goaltender Austin Matthews and company are going to face in the first round. It's crazy.
I feel like that Green Bay Packers color commentator show. Just exhaling angrily. You know?
Yeah, there you go.
There it is. That's the best. He's trying desperately not to drop an F-bomb. So good. All right, you know what, Joe? Let's take the break. We're going to come back with some NFL news and notes that can affect fantasy football. Coming up as well, top of the hour, Zach Petraw, NFL draft guru from Draft Bible Sports Illustrated, is going to... Actually, we chatted with him yesterday, so we're going to play that interview for you. Because we figured, Joe, you know what? We're the top fantasy show in all of Canada, if not should be the world. However, it is Easter Sunday, and we're like, you know what? Probably should err on the side of not expecting someone to join us live on Easter Sunday. So we got Zach yesterday, and always a great chat with him to break down the NFL draft prospects and what it means to your upcoming fantasy football draft. So that's going to be a great chat. We're also going to give you a fantasy baseball, some waiver wire pickups, 2 start pitchers for the upcoming week when the fantasy show continues across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This is the Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Shaw Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Yep. Here we go. Happy Easter, everybody. Fantasy Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm Andy McNamara. That's Shaw Ali. Give us a follow on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, at The Fantasy Show. Coming up at the top of the next hour, NFL draft talk, fantasy football prospects. Who should you be watching at what position groups? We're going to chat with our buddy Zach Petraw from NFL Draft Bible and Sports Illustrated. That's top of the next hour. Fantasy wrestling. If you want to win some pizza, you want to be our guest wrestling GM for our fantasy wrestling league at Drop the Belt, all you got to do, shoot us a text, 590-590, name and location, or give us that follow and message us on Twitter as well. So we'll talk that more. Blue Jays talk coming up. But first, show, I want, oh, and our USFL DraftKings DFS contest. Don't forget, folks, don't forget that this show, this is your chance to say, you know what, I know better than all of you. I know better. I'm going to put in Brian Scott from the Philadelphia Stars. That's who I'm going to go with. Or maybe, hey, the top-ranked guy, you know what, show, for the Michigan Panthers, maybe you're feeling a little squirrely. You're going to go Shea Patterson. What's up? Go Panthers.
I appreciate you trying to sell this. I appreciate you trying to sell the listeners on this. I can appreciate a good attempt. I do.
Football!
A good attempt. It's football.
I swear Andy BJ says Emmons that in his sleep.
Tampa Bay.
Andy says that in his sleep. He'll just be like, he'll be like lying in bed, and like his wife will be like his wife will be asleep, and he'll just be like, football!
Football!
Like, just like Tim. She's like, oh my God, what's happening?
Wake up, you idiot. sorry. Dreaming about BJ Emmons crossing the plane for a touchdown for Tampa Bay. So you have your Tampa Bay Vipers XFL hat. You now obviously have to go with your Tampa Bay, what's their names again?
The Bandits.
Bandits. You gotta get a Bandits hat.
Do they even that's a sell guy riding USFL a horse merch? Do they even like sell it? I wonder, honestly.
They have NFTs, it says.
Great. Great. Hey, look, I dabbled
in the
world.
You or not.
I dabbled in the world of NFTs with NBA Top Shot, and you and I, hey, look, there was a time, however long ago it feels, that you and I were like really into Top Shot, and now not so much anymore.
Now they're worth. Now they're worth like nothing, right? Pretty much.
You know, that's a good question. They continue to release them, so I can't help but think that like they like you know how in real life like when trading cards we were talking about that a little earlier. I mean, trading cards they started releasing like a zillion sets like every year in like the 80s and 90s, and like now those cards are worth like literally cents on the dollar. I bet it's like that, or it's getting towards that. I bet I would guess.
Well. You know what, Shel? The only spot you really need to get your limited edition and special NFTs, not that are in a million, but our specialty is ultimatesportsnfts.com. That's all you got to go, ultimatesportsnfts.com. Right. Check those out, folks. I'm telling you. Santos found a USFL merchandise store. Shel, official, shopusfl.com. And I got to tell you, it's not great. It's not a great...
No.
It's the logos. I'm just looking. I'm not. Yeah, you know, like when during the beginning of the pandemic, remember we picked our KBO team?
Oh, yeah.
We're like, go Dinos. That was cool. You got the cool Dino stuff. They had like a bear something or other. Cool, cool uniforms and logos. These honest. So if I'm looking at these, give a very aversion to XFL vibe. These give a very, create a mode in an old Madden game or something. Like just these logos. These are not. I feel anybody could have done this. What is the Pittsburgh Maulers? Looks like he has a croquet mallet over his head. Is he playing polo? He might be a polo. I don't know. Might be polo or croquet. He's swinging. The guy's going to swing. I don't know. It's not.
Look,
it's
these
not,
hats
it's
cost.
Not great.
These
not
hats great. Cost $34.99 USD. I think I might pass.
What?
I think I might pass on these hats.
I think. If anything, I would get like the league logo, like pull the Rob Lowe and like, yay, go right. NFL, the go USFL. Yeah, these are not good. Regardless, folks, we're going to do a DraftKings DFS. Maybe it's one of those things, if you guess right, because nobody knows, that you can win. I don't know.
if you say so, Andy.
good laugh. So. I know. You know what? Let's get to some actual football, some NFL news. Derek Carr, the Raiders, and it seems so for years, almost since he arrived, it's been, when are the Raiders going to move on from Derek Carr? He's not good enough. He's going to trade for this. And then they say, you know what? No. 3-year, $121.5 million extension. And I say, good for Derek Carr. So that's a guy coming out of that 2014 draft with that hack never was Johnny Manziel, that Derek Carr was a very good NFL quarterback. He's been a very good NFL quarterback for a while. He had that Raiders to the playoffs the 1 year, broke his leg, though. The guys, he just needs weapons around him for more touchdowns. They've got that this year. He's throwing for the yards. He's shown he can air it out. He has the losing record. This is the year, show. I think we find out, is Derek Carr, can he be considered an upper half NFL quarterback? You got Devontae Adams. You have Darren Waller. What are you going to do with it? This is the year in that loaded AFC West. I think we're going to see what Derek Carr and this Raiders offense is really made of.
Yeah, I am really curious to see what a new GM, what Josh McDaniels, who I feel like I've watched for a really long time in New England, right? I mean, what he's going to do for Derek Carr and Devontae Adams and that Raiders offense, right? I'm honestly very curious. I think it's going to be it's either going to be really good or it's going to be awful. It's going to be one of the worst things you've ever seen. And, I mean, you and I talked about this before. Draft value or draft stock for all of the Raiders, I'm so curious on. Because now that Devontae Adams is no longer in Green Bay, where Aaron Rodgers is force-feeding him the ball, especially in the red zone, like at the goal line... If you saw three straight passing plays in the 1 yard line, all to Devontae Adams, you would not be that shocked, right?
No.
I wonder if that will continue in Las Vegas, because you know it's not just Devontae Adams who's there. It's Darren Waller. It's Hunter Renfrow. There's Josh Jacobs certainly on the ground, and Derek Carr is like he spreads it around, right? Like the guy's a pretty good game manager, and he spreads it around. So I'm really curious as to what will happen to the value draft-wise of Devontae Adams. As well, also, like, I mean, people kind of... I find that people tend to overdraft quarterbacks, right? And I mean...
Right.
I was, in my main league last year, my home league, as you call it, I remember the first quarterback went, I think, in the third round, and then everyone started taking quarterbacks. There's always a run on quarterbacks, or there's always a run on pitching, let's say, right, in fantasy baseball. And I wonder how high Derek Carr will go this year.
To me, I still consider Derek Carr at probably the highest level of QB2. I'm not ready until I see it to put him
in that
level.
Right? For fantasy purposes, that is perfectly serviceable.
But I guess it depends on your league. If you're talking just a one QB, 12-team league, you don't want to take Derek Carr. Two QB leagues, different story, and you definitely want him on your team. The question becomes, if you look, Derek Carr's statistics are very a little confusing, because if you look at the yardage, you think this should be a 35-plus touchdown guy the last 3 years. But it hasn't been. Last year, over 4,800 passing yards. So if I say that, you're thinking, what? Like I said, 35 touchdowns. 23 touchdowns. Year before, 4,100 yards. 27 touchdowns. Year before that, just over 4,000. 21. Year before that, over 4,000. 19. The touchdown production has really given himself a ceiling as to being fantasy relevant. Now, does Davante Adams open up this whole thing? And if Darren Waller is back and healthy, open it up. Show on paper, you have all the boxes ticked. You got the high volume, deep threat, whatever you want to do with Davante Adams. You got the stud tight end. You got Hunter Renfrow in the slot. You got the running back in Josh Jacobs. All the pieces are there. The question is, can they score more touchdowns? And they're going to have to if they don't want to finish last in that AFC West, which, boy, I think any head-to-head in the NFC West or AFC West this year is just going to be must-watch television. Interest, just watch it. And Broncos with Wilson, Mahomes with the Chiefs, Herbert with the Chargers, and, of course, Carr with the Raiders.
But here's the thing. I feel like we talk about the Raiders not just you and I, but people in general in a weird sense, because the Raiders made the playoffs last year, right? We kind of talk about them as if they've never made the playoffs, or as if you know what I mean? It's kind of like a strange conversation around them. Don't you kind of feel I know they didn't win, but they did actually make the playoffs on the last game of the regular season, which was a thriller against the Chargers. But I feel like, Derek Carr fantasy-wise did fall off after the hot start to the year a little bit. But at the same time, are you really all that – are you that surprised with the injuries they had? Josh Jacobs got injured for a little bit. That affected things. Darren Waller was injured basically all year. That affected things, right? It was basically just Derek Carr and Hunter Renfrow essentially for a large chunk of last season. And now you would expect all of them to be healthy. And that's kind of why, to go back to the whole draft stock thing, that's kind of why I don't really mind taking Derek Carr. If you're in a 1QB league and you decide to not pay up draft capital-wise for Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert or Jalen Hurts, if that's a guy who's going to go above Derek Carr, probably, right, Aaron Rodgers, etc. If you're not going to pay up for those guys, I feel like you could do a lot worse than Derek Carr. Steady, and he may not blow the roof off, but he's not going to be losing you games. You know what I mean?
Yep, probably a nice steady, if you average it out, probably a good 18-point guy.
Yeah,
he'll pop at times. It really depends what you're looking for. Interesting, too, and again, I wonder what the Davante Adams factor and a healthy Darren Waller means to this team, because the Raiders were only one of two teams, that had a negative point differential, so more points against than points for, who made the playoffs last year. Minus 65 for the Raiders. The only other team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Just had to mention that. Minus 55 for them. But that goes too. You have the passing yards, couldn't find the end zone. Why? What was the reason? Okay, well, they went out and addressed it the best they could. And we're going to find out. Yeah, Josh McDaniels, which to me also says, that Josh McDaniels was hanging around, take over from Belichick, and now maybe he's looking at things in New England maybe time to go out on my own a little bit. Maybe things aren't, Bill's going to hang around for another decade till he dies on the field at 100 years old. Maybe it's time for me to look elsewhere.
Josh McDaniels, what a fascinating guy. He has been in New England, I've always felt that he has been, I don't know what the right word is, not overlooked, because I feel like it's hard to be overlooked when you coach next to Bill Belichick, but Boy, I don't know, man. I hope he is good. I mean, people often say, like, in second go arounds for NFL coaches, you typically you've learned something, right? I mean, people had that same conversation about, I guess it was Todd Bowles, who's now the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after Bruce Arians, like, kind of retired and moved into the front office, right? Then he had a disastrous stint as the Jets head coach. And I mean, I feel like that's a slightly different situation because the Jets were bad and he wasn't exactly
you can't
like,
blame him.
Yeah. He wasn't exactly helped out by the front office there. So it'll be different when he has a tailor-made like Stanley Cup, tailor-made the Lombardi Trophy contender. That'd be cool if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won the Stanley Cup, though. That'd be something. But
that'd be something.
But yeah, just with McDaniels, you learn from your mistakes, and you know, maybe we'll see. I mean, if he fails as being a head coach here, I guess you could always go back to New England, but there's not going to be a third chance, I feel like.
No. And yeah, the second time you get your shot, and if you don't, then you settle in as some type of coordinator for the rest of your life, which is just fine. That's still good. You know, Pete Carroll had a horrific first go-around as an NFL head coach. Went back to college, reinvented himself. We know what happened there. Even Bill Belichick, first head coaching gig with the Browns, had Cleveland ready there before Baker Mayfield beat Pittsburgh 2 years ago. It was Belichick's 94 Browns that had the last playoff win. Team moved, got shuffled around, went to New England, and we know what happened there. So it's, yeah, quite often you get that second chance. You've learned something if you humble yourself a little bit, and then you keep going. So you got that. The other NFL news show, apparently, speaking of Baker, and I'm looking right now at my rookie record touchdown passing memorabilia piece with the football of Baker Mayfield. Apparently rumored, hot rumor, going to go potentially to the Carolina Panthers. So, show you could have on the same roster the two of the first three picks in the 2018 NFL draft on the same team in Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield.
And that means it will guarantee, if that happens, that I will not be drafting DJ Moore in fantasy this year, because Baker is like coin a phrase from Andy, fantasy poison. He's fantasy poison.
I want nothing
to do with Baker Mayfield.
A healthy Baker, that'll be my favorite NFC South team. I'll tell you that. If Baker's down there, go Panthers.
I'll buy that, Andy. I'll buy that memorabilia from you for. I'll give you $5 for it.
You get no. You get nothing. No. I'm gonna hold on to it. I'm gonna cherish it forever. Forever and ever. Show, before we get to our guest, Zach Petrell, in the next hour from NFL Draft Bible and Sports Illustrated, talk some NFL draft prospects. Let's get a little fantasy baseball talking, okay? Waiver wire pickups. Now, I know you love your two-star pitchers to get in for DFS plays, even for season-long, of course, to keep track. So give me your two-star pitchers for this week.
Well, how about you give me your waiver wire pickups, and then once we're done chatting with Zach, we'll get to the two-star pitchers.
Okay. See, you know what? I like, now, this is somebody I picked up, and you know me, Show, when it comes to fantasy baseball season long, I tinker like nobody's business. I use, in my main league, we have four player ads per week. I'm at least at three, if not four, every single week. Just, you know, pitchers, in and out, bottom sort of utility type of guys floating around. So a guy who was earlier, now he's been picked up after his hot start, but a guy I got when he was owned, I think, in like 9%. Now, granted, he's cooled off the last three games, so he might be not long for my team. But Stephen Kwan of the Cleveland Guardians,
red hot
to start the year. But Show, hitless in his last three. So this is a case where, you know, maybe it's like, all right, we'll give you the weekend, and then we'll see into next week how it goes from that standpoint. So I liked Stephen Kwan when he came in early. Somebody that I liked on the pitching front a lot was Kyle Wright of Atlanta. Now, he's up to 65% ownership, Show, but if you got him at the first of the year, and I just got him as a spot starter, I picked him up April 9, just before his first start. Two straight wins. He's looked phenomenal. 6 strikeouts and 9 strikeouts. Just one walk in his first two starts for Atlanta. So I absolutely love him. And somebody who's still owned in less than 50% had a little blister issue on his first start, so a lot of people dumped him, but the blister seems to be fixed. He's gone. Steven Matz, our old friend from the Blue Jays with the Cardinals, 44% rostered in Yahoo leagues, just came off of, what was it yesterday? What's today? The 17th? He came off of yesterday, the 16th. 5 2/3, got you 24.5 fantasy points, depending on your league, 6 strikeouts, no walks, blister is fine, plays Miami on the 21st. So Steven Matz, somebody you want to look at this week to get on your fantasy roster.
I'll add for the waiver wire, because I like all of those. I do. And I'll do the two-start pitcher stuff right after we're done chatting to Zach. But I think if you haven't picked up some of these guys yet, I think you should at least check to see if they're rostered. Last I checked, Connor Joe from the Colorado Rockies, I think he has the first base and outfield eligibility. He was, ooh, I think last I checked, he was around like 48% rostered. It might have changed in the last day or two. I just feel like come next week, he might not qualify to be a streaming guy anymore, because he has been pretty consistent this year, right? He was called up to the majors last year, and he has been great this year as well. I know the Rockies are playing, I think, Aaron Nola, and I forget who else they're playing. They all, you know, anytime the Rockies get to play at Coors Field, the guys get a little bit of a boost, right? And then later on this week, I believe the Rockies are playing Tyler Alexander and Kyle Gibson as two of the three pitchers after Nola. So it's like, you know, you probably feel comfortable taking your chances there. Gio Urshela, now that he's no longer a New York Yankee, I mean, he was good as a Yankee, but he's been okay in Minnesota. I think he has a third base and shortstop eligibility. He didn't have a great last year, but going back to 2019 and maybe parts of the shortened season in 2020, he looked very, very good, right? So now he looks more like the 2019-2020 self than he did the 2021 self, right? So if Urshela is still available, I feel like he might be a good pickup, especially someone who has dual position eligibility and someone who's like very low owned. Darren Ruff from the Giants, Andy, at first base and outfielder again. There's no real reason, now that that is the universal DH, there's no real reason why, generally speaking, Ruff shouldn't be the everyday DH guy for the Giants. So, he's probably one of the better hitters on the team, period. And last I checked, he was like 5% owned or something like that.
I have 3% owned right now in Yahoo leagues.
Yeah, so there you go. So I think 3%, I think for a guy that's been that consistent, and the Giants have had a lot of injury news, right? I think like they're missing LaStella and Longoria and one other guy just off the top of my head. But either way, like the Ruff is going to get more opportunities as long as those guys are injured. So again, for 3% owned, you might as well go pick him up and stick him on your team.
See what's up. Connor Joe, by the way, 62% ownership.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah, it's flown up over the last 48 hours. So he spiked up about 20% ownership. So 344 average, ranked 29th overall in the very early stages of this MLB season. But certainly, yeah, if he's there, take a look. Connor Joe of the Rockies. I like that pickup a lot. So we'll get into your two-start pitchers coming up, as well as our fantasy wrestling talk, USFL DFS. Don't forget that, people. I'm going to do it. We're gonna win us some money on USFL. Just you wait.
But
up next, I got a 10-cent DraftKings contest show. I got a 10-cent one. Grand prize is $1,000. I'm going to win the damn thing.
You know, Andy, you know how these people win, right? People will
play thousands of contests.
Yeah, they'll spend like $100, enter like 1,000 entries, and then win $1,000.
Then win $1,000. Listen, I'll win like 25 cents out of it. I'll still come out ahead. I'll predict this. I will win something in this USFL contest. So wrestling fantasy, you want to be a GM, win some pizza, hit us up there. Text line 590-590. But up next, some NFL draft talk. Which prospects should you be looking at for your fantasy football team? Zach Petrov, NFL Draft Bible and Sports Illustrated. We will chat with him next in hour two of the Fantasy Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This is the Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Shaw Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hour two of the Fantasy Show kicks off right now across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Happy Easter weekend, everybody. Hope everyone's having a great holiday weekend. We still have our fantasy wrestling, a little fantasy football talk coming up, as well as a chance for you, the listener, to win some pizza. All you got to do, follow us on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, or at The Fantasy Show. But before all of that, Sho and I had a chance to catch up. Because, Sho, let's pull back the curtain here. If you think about it, folks, to get a guest to join you live on a Sunday morning on an Easter weekend.
Easter Sunday, specifically.
Easter Sunday. Probably not great. The odds, probably not good. Am I accurate if we're pulling back the broadcasting curtain for our listeners?
Oh, yeah. I think it's not hard to get guests to join on a normal Sunday morning, but
right.
On holiday Sundays, it is kind of difficult. So we had to kind of make do with a pre-tape this weekend.
Yeah. I know myself, I've been asked before on like holiday stuff, can you join? It's like, no. Why are you asking? Absolutely not. Now, if they're going to pay, then, I'm like, kids can wait a few minutes. That's fine. But if you're not, and we don't pay our guests, folks, I'll tell you that, then no, it doesn't work out. So we chatted with Zach Petraw, who is does a phenomenal job covering the NFL draft and fantasy football guy too for NFL Draft Bible and Sports Illustrated to get you ready for the NFL draft and what it means to your fantasy football team. Here's our chat. All right, let's bring in our guest, Zach Petraw from Draft Bible and SportsIllustrated.com. Zach, welcome, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on here.
Absolutely. Well, hey, listen, the NFL draft, we know it's coming quick. It's a couple weeks away. And no matter how much prep you do for the draft and mock and this, and that, there's always some sort of surprise. And this year, we see a real heavy class for wide receivers, for defensive line, specifically pass rushers. I want to start, though, one area that is really thin as far as, let's say, first-round talent. It seems, to me anyway, and when you look at as far as grading and stuff, it's the running back position, Zach. Like, it just seems like there's not that kind of wow star power guy that's going to leap up the boards in the first round. What do you think about the running back class?
Yeah, I actually just wrote about this. So I got my rankings all coming out in article form here. I started with quarterbacks on Tuesday. Running backs went out on Wednesday. And I kind of went into this a little bit. The NFL, you're not going to find that lead back type of guy. Obviously, you got your Dalvin Cooks of the world and Aaron Jones and whatnot, but they still got that really solid running back behind them. So teams are I wouldn't necessarily say that running backs are undervalued just because, I mean, they bring another element to the game. And when you got a guy like a Dalvin Cook on your team, it really does, wonders for your offense as a whole. So, try to find a guy like that. Obviously, this class it's not bad. I mean, it's pretty good. Guys like Breece Hall at Iowa State, he's my top running back. I think he's phenomenal. I think he's going to be, depending on where he lands, I think he could be a guy that sees, 15-plus touches a game, and it's definitely a different type of landscape than we've seen in years past, but I still think that you're going to find some really solid value at the running back position this year.
So, Zach, when you look past the guys like, you mentioned Breece Hall. You look past, let's say, Kenneth Walker and maybe even Damian Pierce, who we were talking with some other guests a couple of weeks ago, and Pierce is a really intriguing running back to me. But you look past to the guys like, I'm thinking like Brian Robinson Jr. out of Alabama, right? Like, are there other guys later in the draft that you think can actually become legitimate contributors at the NFL level?
Yeah, absolutely. The first guy that comes to mind is Rutgers running back Isaiah Pacheco, a guy who's got really good size and overall has just a really solid game to him. I mean, he's got a little, some weaknesses here and there, but overall a very well-rounded game. And then a guy like James Cook, who, I've already mentioned Dalvin Cook, his younger brother James out of Georgia, a really good pass-catching back, caught my eye when he was a sophomore. I liked him a lot. Obviously, there's been a lot of Georgia running backs that have come down the wire as of late. James is another one, man. Like, this guy is going to have a really solid career. I think he's going to be, somewhere around that late day two type of pick. Brian Robinson, he's going to go earlier than people expect just off of the Alabama pedigree, the recruiting pedigree, the overall size that he has. So he's going to be a guy that probably comes off earlier than you'd expect. But I think Isaiah Pacheco, not many people, you're not going to see many people have him, with a day two grade. I think we have him as a round four grade. This is a really solid prospect that you could expect to potentially see some playing time, he's got the potential to have, 10 plus touches a game type of thing.
Well, and Zach, we know that, and I guess it's fair for every type of position, but it really depends on landing spot for the running back, right? And I would say as well, the level of pass protection. I think a perfect example of this where Kenneth Gainwell coming out to Philly last year, coming out of the draft, all the talent in the world, not a great pass protector. And we saw that hurt him as a rookie. And we always try to bring it back a little bit to the fantasy football side of it, of course. And that hurt him from a fantasy value because
if you cannot be relied to protect your quarterback, you're going to be limited to two downs. And that's going to be a problem for this. So I wonder how we see this running back class shape up when it comes to landing spot and trying to avoid those dreaded committees. Because, man, Zach, as we know, like, you can just run through. There's so few actual pure bell cow backs who get an opportunity to do it in the NFL nowadays.
Oh yeah, you're not going to find a bell cow back to start their career in this class. You know, like you said, you look around the NFL landscape. I mean, the Vikings, the Colts, the Patriots, the Packers. I mean, they all have, you know, their running backs in place. So it's going to be hard for a lot of these guys to find playing time right off the get go. It's something, if you're a fantasy football owner, you're playing dynasty fantasy football, whatever it is, you're going to have to kind of be patient with these guys. And, you know, if there's a guy that in your league that needs a running back, man, you might need to trade him some of these draft picks, because, you know, you could get some really good value for, you know, let's say like Breece Hall lands with, you know, the first one that comes to mind here is like a team like the Raiders, who, you know, Josh Jacobs is a solid running back. I know they got someone else behind him. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but, you know, a team like the Raiders that come to mind here, they might be a team that you could see a rookie running back get some extra playing time. But you're just not going to find a 20 plus touch a game type of guy. So you're going to have to really be patient with these running backs this year.
So Zach, let's talk a little bit about the wide receivers, because I think for a lot of people, that's the, maybe apart from like linebackers and some of the defensive positions, wide receivers on the offense is probably the one of the groups that this class people are really excited for. At the same time, there really isn't a Justin Jefferson or a Ja'Marr Chase in this class, it feels like. Like, there are a lot of really good players. I'm not saying they're not. But at the same time, it just kind of feels like there's a lot of, maybe Jameson Williams is the closest to that guy, or maybe Garrett Wilson is, or other players. But I'm just curious where you fall on the general quality of this draft class, because it feels like there's a lot of wide receivers. But I honestly go back and forth as to whether or not that's a product of the NFL being a passing league, or if there actually are, if that makes sense, like a lot of good wide receivers in this class.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of good wide receivers in this class. I believe I have 5 first round grades on wide receivers this year. Garrett Wilson being the top one. Now, you know, comparing them to a guy like Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase, who are, you know, record setting type of players, you know, that you're probably not going to find that, right? But you get them in the right spot, I mean, you never know. You might see another rookie pop off here. And that's why I don't always wonder, because, you know, the wide receivers in the NFL, you know, what they've already done, they've earned it, right? They've earned that type of money that they're getting paid. But there's some, every class seems to have a really good, deep class of wide receivers. I mean, even out of the first round grades that I give, you know, you got guys like George Pickens or David Bell or Sky Moore, or, you know, I could list a ton of names where these are quality NFL players that if they get an opportunity with a team that needs a pass catcher, shoot, man, you're gonna see a lot of good production out of these guys.
In conversation with Zach Petrella, you can get him on Twitter at NFL Draft Bible, affiliated with the Sports Illustrated and SI.com/NFL/draft. And you can find his work right now at NFL_Zach, previewing each position group. Your latest article, Zach, the tight end position. And boy, we know, we talk about it, seems like every year, Zach, how thin fantasy-wise the tight end position is. My goodness, if you don't grab Travis Kelce, or before last year, Darren Waller, you are picking guys up and trying to guess, it seems, year after year. Now, in this class, grade-wise, it looks like we're not talking about any tight ends in the conversation till day 2, you know, around 3 and beyond. I want to ask you about two guys who I really like. Greg Dulcich out of UCLA and Jelani Woods. Maybe it's the size, because I fall in love with guys at the combine. I call it the combine crush for me, Zach. And Jelani Woods, oh baby, 6'7", 253, 4.6, 140. Let's go. Out of Virginia.
I thought Christian Watson was your combine crush. You can't change it.
I can have multiple. I can have. It can be a polygamous relationship for tight ends. For tight ends, it's Jelani Woods. For wide receiver, my overall Christian Watson, we can talk about him in a bit, Zach. I love that guy. But out of those two, just, you know, big picture, and then a prospect or two that you like as far as contributors. Because, you know, you also see some of these tight ends, they don't really pick it up until year 2 or 3 to become offensive producers at the NFL level.
Right, and Jelani Woods is my tight end too. I will say real quick too, Trey McBride is head and shoulders above the class. If there is going to be a first round tight end, it's going to be him to like the Titans maybe or something like that. But anyway, Jelani Woods, super athletic, tremendous size as you mentioned, really good speed. You're gonna have a seam busting type of tight end with Jelani Woods. Now, do I think he contributes year one? Probably not. Do I think he gets in there on obvious running downs? Nah, I don't think so. So he's going to be a little bit limited in his playing time. And then Greg Dulcich, another guy, a decent blocker, but a much better pass catcher, a really good route runner, secure hands. Like, there's a lot to like with Dulcich. It is the question of how are you going to get on the field. A guy that's going to get on the field, though, who I like, a lot, obviously it's kind of strays away from the fantasy receiving points that you get and everything like that. But Jeremy Ruckert out of Ohio State, this guy is a much better pass catcher than his stats are going to tell you, and he's a really, really good blocker. Like, if you want an all around type of tight end, Jeremy Ruckert's your guy. I could see him being a late day two pick, and a team. I mean, if he's in a spot where there's no clear cut tight end one, or if they need a tight end two, I see this guy getting on the field, more often than you'd think. And a guy that can contribute, if you're looking at it from a fantasy perspective, if you're on the field, you have a chance to contribute. So I think that's where, Jeremy Ruckert, he might be a good late round pick in dynasty leagues.
Zach, one of the interesting things about this draft, and I mean, I mentioned Andy's combine crush for Christian Watson, and we're talking about the tight ends and a lot of the offensive pieces because, as we know, that's going to pertain the most to fantasy. But I just find it interesting because for the quarterbacks, you're going to have the Malik Willises and Kenny Picketts and all these different guys. But I wonder, I mean, this is something Andy and I have spoken about before, both on and off the air, just will enough quarterbacks go, because it's a quarterback needy league, as we all know, will enough quarterbacks go high enough that they'll eventually end up pushing better offensive prospects, and I'm sure defensive prospects as well, a little further down, so maybe by the end of the first round or beginning of the second round or even later maybe teams are getting more bargains, right? Like, I know I've seen the scuttlebutt that Jameson Williams might go in the top 15. Maybe if like five of the top 15 picks end up being quarterbacks, like it was last year, maybe Williams goes a little further down, right? I'm just curious how you see the ripple effects for some of these really skilled offensive pieces being felt if quarterbacks are taken early in the first round.
No, that's a really good question because, with the Panthers picking at six, I could see them taking an offensive tackle, even though they did address the offensive line. But I could also make a case for Kenny Pickett to be selected because Matt Rhule heavily recruited him out of Temple. We know he was at his pro day, has done his due diligence on him and everything like that. Also Malik Willis, maybe he goes six. And then you look at the Seahawks at nine, Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett, I would like to see them take a tackle too. But so if quarterbacks start to go, offensive tackles are going to start getting pushed down. Defenders are going to be pushed down. And this is a really good class of defenders. So then you look at, the wide receivers. I think just in general, the depth and talent of this wide receiver class, you're going to see guys get pushed down the board, just due to the fact that, a lot of these teams need other, they have more, outside of like the Packers and the Chiefs, they have more needs to take, at other positions. So you're going to see wide receivers potentially get pushed down the board. Running backs just in general will get pushed down the board. So you're going to get a lot of good value at the wide receiver position at the top of the second round into the third round. So it is going to be an interesting scenario of how things play out when the draft rolls around to see how that ripple effect really, affects all these players.
Well, yeah, and Zach, this seems like a real chance in this draft that we could see those tumblers, which are fun for viewing, terrible for the poor athletes who are sitting there waiting to be chosen. But it seems like, yeah, like you said, like, okay, let's say Carolina doesn't take a quarterback and, take whatever. Then it's like, okay, well, where does Kenny Pickett, where does a Malik Willis make sense? Is it a possibility for someone to jump back up? I have to say the guy I am most intrigued with and who I think, and I just hope he doesn't go to my arch nemesis, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Show knows where I'm going with this. Desmond Ridder. Oh, Zach, I absolutely love this guy. I think he has all the intangibles. He has the size. He has the mobility. By all accounts, he has the leadership and maturity. As long as he doesn't go to just a wasteland of a situation where quarterbacks go to die, I think Desmond Ridder has the tools and the look and the possibility to be a real star at some point.
No, I agree. And, you know, I'll just say first, like, you know, Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis, I don't see both of those guys getting past the Steelers. I think they're either going to go earlier or the Bucs going to stop at the Steelers, wherever they pick there. So with Desmond Ridder, my favorite spot for him would be to go to the Buccaneers. I think that's a great spot for the Bucs to pick him at the back of the first round. You know, if Tom Brady ends up hanging him up or he had that big question mark again, what are you going to do, you know? So it was a little bit of a concern when that happened. But you got a guy like Desmond Ridder who possesses all the leadership qualities you want, is a mature athlete, has a solid arm, you know, processes the field very well. Put him in a system with Tom Brady for a year. I mean, you might have something there for quite some time in Desmond Ridder.
Zach, before we let you go, you mentioned these two teams earlier, the Packers and the Chiefs, and we know, I think both of those teams have two first-round picks. So I feel like it's a pretty safe bet. One of them will take a wide receiver, Tyreek Hill no longer in Kansas City, Devontae Adams no longer in Green Bay. Do you think, like, I mean, you're a fantasy guy as well. Do you think we're at the point where if, like, it doesn't really matter who they take in the first round as long as it's a wide receiver? Like, I know it would be cool to see Jameson Williams or Garrett Wilson or Chris Olave or any of these guys go to the Packers or Chiefs. But at this point, I feel like because we are all so hyped up fantasy-wise about the abilities of Aaron Rodgers and the abilities of Patrick Mahomes, that no matter which wide receiver goes first, whether it's in the first or second round to one of these two teams, that they're probably going to be, I don't know if overdrafted is the right word, but I feel like their draft stock prior to September is going to just, man, it's going to shoot through the roof.
Yeah. I mean, talking fantasy, yeah, it's there. Whoever goes, I don't care if it's Jameson Williams or if it's Greg Bell or George Pickens, whoever goes to one of those teams, they're gonna skyrocket when you look at their fantasy value. But yeah, like, you know, while you were talking there, I was just thinking, you know, a lot of, like, the Jets and the Commanders and you know, just trying to think of some of those top teams at the Falcons that all need wide receivers. They also need so many other positions. So, like, you could get a guy like Jameson Williams, who everyone's talking about going top 15, laying with the Packers, or Garrett Wilson laying with the Packers. Like, it could happen just based off of team needs and everything like that. And honestly, if I'm a general manager, I'm not taking a wide receiver if I'm the Jets, Commanders, Ravens, you know, you name it, the Saints, whatever. You know, I'm going to go somewhere else, get a other position of need and take another guy in the second, third round or whatever it is. So you could see a really, really good wide receiver fall to one of these really, really good teams. And yeah, that's going to definitely shoot their draft stock up for fantasy value anyway, exponentially. It's going to be wild.
It's always fun, the draft, always tons of storyline. We're going to be in Las Vegas for it with UFF Sports. And Zach, you do a great job as a scout on the uffsports.com football side. It's going to be a ton of fun there to see what happens. Why? Who's going to fall? Who's going to get overdrafted or picked or trade back in? So going to be a ton of fun. Tell people where, again, they can find all your work.
Yeah, you can head over to the website si.com/NFL/draft. If you want to head to my Twitter too, you can find the link in my bio there. It's at @NFL_Zach. A lot of stuff going on. If you want, we got the big board up to 350 prospects now with round grades. I think we have, a ton. We try to break it down a little bit more in the rankings for you guys, not just give you edge rushers. You know, we try to give you the 4-3 defensive ends, 34 outside linebackers, stuff like that. You know, try to make sure you can differentiate where they best fit in certain schemes when you look at defenders, you know, outside corners compared to slot corners and free safeties to strong safeties. So, like, go check out those rankings. They're up on the website right now. And then, yeah, I'll be dropping my positional rankings, my personal ones, every day up until, until we hit the safeties. We're at tight end right now. So that means offensive tackles are tomorrow, and the interior offensive linemen are Monday. So just keep an eye out on those. I'll be dropping those on Twitter. And then obviously we'll have the mock draft Monday. You're starting to get a more clear vision of how things are potentially going to play out. Obviously the draft is as unpredictable as anything in the entire world, right? So the mock drafts aren't always going to be perfect, but we're trying to get them close for you so you can see where these guys are potentially going to land here.
Well, we always enjoy your stuff, Zach. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right, there he is, Zach Petrah from NFL Draft Bible and Sports Illustrated. Always great chatting with Zach as we get ready for the NFL Draft. And show that's That's what I love about this draft season. One, just the draft itself and from the real-life football implications. But from a fantasy football side, there's so many layers to this because it's not just the prospects coming in. It's where do they land? Who gives them the best opportunity to be fantasy relevant? But then also, who does that affect on the teams they're going to? Right? Who does it bump down? Who does it elevate? What does that mean? That's all part of this.
Well, like I said to Zach, I mean, whoever the Packers and Chiefs take, I got to say, I can't imagine it'll affect too many people because there are not too many other super fantasy relevant options in both of those places. Like, I know Juju Smith-Schuster, you know, Sammy Watkins, I don't know. Like, I mean, yeah, I guess. But, you know, whoever the Packers draft at wide receiver, like if the Packers draft literally any wide receiver in the first round, we are going to be talking about that guy all summer long. I guarantee you. And same goes for Chiefs draft a wide receiver in the first round. That guy is going to be flying up draft boards, understandably. But I'm just saying, like, people are going to have, like, almost, dare I say, unrealistic expectations for whichever rookie wide receiver goes to Green Bay or KC because of what Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill have done in the past.
I think especially show the Green Bay factor. Because in Kansas City, you know, you have the Juju, like you said, you still have Travis Kelce. In Green Bay, you are just begging for a rookie wideout to come in and ball out. Like, your top, let's look at the receivers real quick. Alan Lazard, Sammy Watkins, who will get injured. He will get injured, and I don't want to hear anybody saying, this is Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins is not fantasy relevant, folks. Outside of his rookie year, he never has been, and he's not going to be. So stop it. Randall Cobb is kind of a real life vulture for fantasy. He'll ruin your fantasy day by scoring a couple touchdowns 1 week. You'll go chase him and he won't do anything for 4 weeks. Robert Tonyan's a bit of a wild card if he can come back healthy. That wide receiver show, if you are able to get a stud, and there's lots of them, but you got to get the right one. If you can get them in the first round and you're the Packers, I'm totally with you. I think you have potential WR1 rookie star right away in Green Bay.
Yeah, I'll be fascinated to see where that guy goes. You know what I mean? Let's just say Ooh. For the sake of argument, let's just say it's Garrett Wilson out of Ohio State, right? Let's just say it's right, that guy right. who goes to Green Bay for this conversation. I guarantee you, he will be drafted maybe in the top 4 to 5 rounds, and I think that might be a little, like, I'm not saying he won't be good, it's just I think that might be a little too rich for me when, you know, you can get someone who is a very good player in the top 4 to 5 rounds, and as we all know, I mean, like, Cooper Kupp was probably drafted in the top 5 rounds last year, probably towards the end of those 5 rounds, but mm-hmm. still he was probably drafted in the top 5. Jamar Chase was drafted outside of the top 5 in most leagues. So I just, like, with the hype that is going to surround whoever is the Green Bay WR1 as a rookie, and same goes for KC, I just feel like, I'm not saying I'm going to pass on them because if the price is right, you can't pass on anyone, but you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it might be a little too rich for my blood at this point.
It could be. And again, yeah, it really depends on who's the guy. Who is it? Who's actually coming up? Is it a Wilson or a Chris Olave? Two stud wide receivers out of Ohio State, right? Like, where do you look? And what I guess for fantasy purposes, show what I don't want is for the Packers to do what the Packers have done recently, and that is disappoint with their first round picks. And maybe be like, we'll take a defensive lineman, which you need. Don't get me wrong. And it's a deep draft class for receiver and D-line. But man, if you pass on that guy and they swing back in the second round and get somebody who might be perceived probably still very good, but as just more of a guy, that would be super disappointing. Right now on that Green Bay roster, you're looking at WR3s on any actual good team. There's no runaway WR1 or even 2, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're probably right. Honestly, yeah. It'll be really interesting to see what the fallout is of the draft. I know the draft goes in just about, what, 2 weeks, essentially, right? Just at the end of the month, which is pretty crazy. You're going to be there, and then you'll be back here in time. You won't have to wake up at, like, 4 a.m. in Las Vegas time. You know what? I was going to tell you, if you were there for this, you might as well just stay up and do the show,
essentially. Just be all swirly. Just yelling, ah! Yeah, just all well, yeah, we're going to be in Vegas for our UFF Sports, for our NFL draft party at the Circa, and doing our Ultimate College Fantasy Football League franchise auction. So if any of you listening are big into college football or fantasy football, check out uffsports.com. You can register to bid right there. Also, show what I found out. I don't even think I had a chance to tell you this. I was talking to David, GM of the Circa, where we're going to be hanging out, Stadium Swim and Legacy Club. He said on day one and two of the draft, on the Thursday and Friday, he doesn't have the full list, but there's going to be those who are not going to be attending the draft at the stadium are going to be hanging out at Stadium Swim with us, like in and around with us, actual, you know, first and second round talent in the NFL draft for prospects. So they're going to be hanging out there. It's going to be pretty cool.
All right. Say hi to Malik Willis and Kenny. Tell Kenny Pickett what you've said on this show many times. If he is there, tell him what you've said to us on the show.
I'm going to hand him a drink. I'm like, Kenny, careful. I know you got little hand. Careful, Kenny. Okay. I'm going to hand to him slowly. Okay. You got it. I hope Christian Watson's there. I'm just going to hang on to him. Just like piggyback, like go to Cleveland, please.
And then you know what? You in so doing, he will refuse the draft pick to Cleveland. He'll be like,
then he'll be dead.
These are the kinds of people who will be cheering for him. No, pass.
He will go full Chase Claypool. He'll go full Chase Claypool. Oh God, and then not be used. Have Mac Jones throw one yard out slants.
If you're a wide receiver and you get drafted by the Patriots at any point in time, you'll either be really good or you will be the worst wide receiver that has ever played in the NFL.
You'll be forgotten in time. Yeah. But you know what? Hey, if you want to join us in Vegas, by the way, folks, uffsports.com, as well as the college fantasy football stuff, you can register right there. Check out the package, party VIP stuff at uffsports.com. I'm going to be there. Going to be a lot of fun with some former NFL players as well. So you can check that out. But Joe, before we break, give me your two-star pitcher. You've been teasing us all week. I got my Yahoo League open. I'm ready to pick up anybody off of waivers. Who are the two-star pitchers this week that you like?
Okay, so I like a couple guys here. I'll have a couple of tiers of guys, let's say. I'll go with Josiah Gray from the Washington Nationals. He's scheduled to start at home against the Diamondbacks, at home against the Giants. He had a pretty disappointing first game of the season. There's no doubt about it, right? I mean, and that's the thing, like with these pitchers, especially in early April, I feel like the shortened spring training, kind of like we're all talking about, has really affected some guys, not all guys. I feel like Gray was one of those guys that had a really, like a stinker of a first game, and then he had a very good second game. I think he blanked Atlanta in five innings. It's an upside pickup, there's no doubt, with Gray, but he might go from someone you stream to someone you might actually want to hold on to in your fantasy league, right? Arizona batting, I know they've been playing a little better in the last couple of days, but they batting a league low 140 as a team. That is abysmal. Ooh. That is just absolutely terrible. Obviously, the Giants are a much better team. But like we mentioned when we talked about Darren Ruff earlier, the Giants are also very banged up. And so that I like the Josiah Gray one. I think he was about like 20, 25% owned. Yeah, so
I'm looking right now, 22. I'm going to grab him.
He's pretty much owned in a chunk of leagues. Nestor Cortes Jr. was the other guy for the Yankees. I mean, Blue Jays fans are familiar. We saw Cortes Jr. It hurt him on the TV and radio just a couple days ago when the Blue Jays were in New York for that four-game series. Cortes, I think, last I checked again, was like about 30-35% in that range. And
he's jumped to 44 now overnight.
Wow, okay, so there you go. Yeah. That's pretty good.
It's hot.
He is scheduled to start against the Orioles and the Guardians, right? And, I mean, you were talking about the stuff with Stephen Kwan earlier. He has been a good pickup if you've grabbed him in the first little going of the season. But at the same time, they're off to, like, it's not, even though this team has, like, Oscar Mercado, who's been really hot, and Jose Ramirez, who I think, as we all know, is a very, very good player, I don't think this Guardians offense is going to be a top, I don't know, like 15-20 offense when it's all said and done at the end of the year. They're just hot right now. And if you think the Yankees are going to be one of the teams to kind of like settle them down a little bit, then I think grabbing Cortes, and if he is available, like, I can't believe he jumped that high, but against the Guardians and, of course, against the lowly Orioles, I think that's another good one there. And again, maybe you pick him up for these two games as a streamer and you drop him later on. I think that's a good one. And then my last one, I'll get to this one before we get out of here. Matt Manning from the Detroit Tigers, I think he was sub 10% owned. And admittedly, when you get to these guys, it's like, you know, do you really want, how much do you trust guys who are sub 10% owned? I think he was 5% last I checked. Maybe that's jumped a little bit, but you know, he last season, like Matt Manning's, 11%. What is it now, Andy?
11%.
11%. Okay. So it's jumped a little bit. It's jumped a little bit there. So I don't know. You look at his last year in the bigs, right? He had almost a 6 ERA and he had like a terrible walk rate. It was pretty bad, right? But at the same time, on a Tigers team that feels like it's on the brink of turning it around, again, at 10%, 11% owned, maybe he was a former top 10 draft pick. Maybe, you know, maybe it's worth looking there. They're playing the Royals and then they're playing the Rockies. So maybe it's one of those matchups is better than the other, probably the Royals, right, even though the game's on the road. But at the same time, I don't know. You might want to take your chances if you're really, like, hard up for a streamer, if you're in deeper leagues. Matt Manning might be a good pick this week. But, yeah, my two favorite lower-owned pitcher streamers, two-star guys, are Gray and Nestor Cortes Jr.
I like it. Well, Josiah Gray is available in my league. Cortes is not, so I'm going to go pick up Gray during the break and get him on my fantasy team, and we'll see how that does this week. So those are a couple of two-start pitchers for you. Up next, folks, fantasy wrestling. You want to be our listener GM, win yourself possibly some Domino's pizza? Get your chance. You can text in 590-590, name and location, or on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, at The Fantasy Show. And also, show, you're going to do it with me. We're going to fill out, I put the link in there, our USFL DraftKings contest. Go Generals! We're going to put it out there and see. And we're going to see next week's show who wins, who has the best line. You know what? I'm thinking off the top of my head here. We'll also open it up on Twitter or text line. We'll put out our USFL lineup. You text in or tweet in who you think is going to finish higher in this DraftKings contest, and you'll be entered to win out of your group into pizza. So if you pick show and he beats me, you'll get a chance to win some Domino's pizza. If it's the other way and I win, then you'll get a chance to win some pizza as well. How about that? Make it interesting. Put some za on it.
Well, what happens if I forget to actually submit the lineup?
Because I put the link right in the chat. You just got to click on it and do it live with me on the show. That's it.
I guess.
Just do it now.
All right. All right.
I would wager folks probably pick Team Andy, but, you know, maybe show's playing a little bit.
You know what? I'd probably wager pick Team Andy, too.
It's just guessing pretty much here. All right. We'll go head-to-head with our USFL lineup, Fantasy Wrestling, to finish off the Fantasy Show next across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Show Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
We are back to finish up the Fantasy Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Andy McNamara alongside Show Ali. Give us a follow on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, at The Fantasy Show. Time to look at our Fantasy Wrestling Listener League. Also, our DFS, our DraftKings USFL Fantasy Football Contest today, folks, that we've decided we're going to put some pizza on the line, some Domino's pizza on the line for both of these for you. Show and I discovered, I brought to his attention because I just found out this morning, somebody liked something from the USFL on my Twitter feed. Apparently, the league has begun. Show, the league has started. So the logos, we were checking them out earlier in the show, the shop, they're not great, people. I don't know if it's going to last or not, but it's football, so why the heck not, right, Joan? If you can win some pizza, why not? So this is what we're going to do. Do you want to start with wrestling or the USFL, show? What do you want to do?
Well, you're forcing me to do the USFL, so I'll leave it up to you.
You know what? We'll finish off with the USFL. We'll start the wrestling.
Okay.
But in the USFL DraftKings contest, if you think the team I select is going to do better than the team show selects, you text us in 590-590, name and location, or on Twitter, just gave those out. And if you're in the pool of whoever wins, you'll be entered to win a Domino's Pizza prize. And on the fantasy wrestling side, we're going to start there. You can be the listener GM. And if your team, which is Team Outsiders, the listener team, gets the most points week over week, you will win a pizza prize as well. Now, we'll bring in our technical director, Josh Santos, who has been just a mountain of a fantasy wrestling man in our DropTheBelt.com league here for our All Elite Wrestling.
It's true. Yeah.
Man. Still sits atop the House of Bebe, 467 points, but in our 7-team league, what we're doing is whoever gets the most points week over week wins, and that is myself and you. We have catapulted up. We each gained 131 fantasy wrestling points compared to a dismal 33 for Santos. Okay. He still sits first overall, but me and you are tied.
Yeah, you know what? I was 200 points behind Santos, and I am now a little less than 100 points behind, which I got to say, for me, very impressive. Good for me.
Good for you.
Good job,
Joe.
Good
for you. Listen, I'm just 20 points back of first place now, guys. I jumped way up.
I'm not worried.
Now, it doesn't look like... I don't know if the Battle of the Belts, which AEW had a show Saturday, counted. It's usually just a Dynamite and Rampage that counts, but Sammy Guevara did win the TNT title back, so I don't know if that helped.
I think it did count, Andy, because Sammy Guevara was on my team, and he went from having like 7 points to having 73 points, so I would imagine it did count. Yeah.
So I guess it did. So that really leaped Show up. Now, Show, you could also be in for a big week because Josh... Darby Allin is fighting Andrade in a coffin match main event on Dynamite. So as long as Darby wins, that could be a big point day for Show.
That's going to be big for both of those guys because it's a gimmick match. It'll be big for one of them because losers we found don't get anything. And I honestly, I don't know what way that's going to go. But it'll be whoever wins, that's going to be pretty good points for the week.
It could go either way. It's really exciting.
Well, here's the thing, Andy. Like, I find this. I like the website. I do, but at the same time, I picked up Nyla Rose this week because I thought maybe she would get some points because I think I seem to recall reading she was going to play Thunder Rosa. So I thought to myself, okay, I'll get some points here. She got a whopping 0 points because she lost, right? But I find it a little confusing. Like, imagine you played fantasy football. And you only got points if the players won, like if they won the game. Like imagine you had, different. I don't know, like half of the players literally every week would get you 0 points. Like, I don't really understand.
That would be, you know what, that would be a very interesting way if we could set up like a mock fantasy football league like that. How interesting would that be on the value of players?
That'd be very frustrating.
Right?
Very frustrating. Yeah.
Jaguar
players would have no value.
Zero value.
You would never draft some teams. Like, you would literally never draft a Detroit Lion. You would never draft a Jacksonville Jaguar, a New York Jet, probably. Like, you would never draft any of those. So that's what I mean. Like, that being the way that works in the fantasy wrestling, like, it's just kind of weird. Like, you think they'd get some points somewhere just for being in a match. You know what I mean?
Stepping in. Yeah. Well, Wheeler Yuta for our buddy Andrew Hustler Patterson, who jumps on
solid pick.
Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, picked up Wheeler Yuta. That addition, guys, to the Blackpool Combat Club with William Regal, John Moxley, and Brian Danielson. Wheeler Yuta, I think Josh has the jetpack strapped on him for a push. Yeah. He's looking real good.
Yeah, and like everybody was like hoping that he would join that. I guess now it's a faction and not a tag team, which I believe, if you pay attention to New Japan, added another member to that group. I could be wrong. I might be hinting towards it, but that pickup for is a really good pickup.
The Kingdom.
Yeah.
That's a really. I'm picking up. I got them on the waiver claim because the trade window is still closed on Drop the Belt until I think probably tomorrow. But I did put in a claim for Dr. Britt Baker, former AEW Women's Champion, because she's going to be in the Owen Hart Foundation Women's Tournament, and she's against like a nobody, so she's going to win, I think, this week. So I'm going to drop Marina Shafir.
How do waivers work, Andy? How do waivers work in this league? I have no idea.
So I think, and I wanted to make sure before the show that I put it in before I explained this, just in case. So I will have the first priority on it because I got it in first. It's kind of a first come, first serve. So if the window's closed, and let's say, Show, you're like, I want wrestler X. I want if I drop Jungle Boy. You're like, I want Jungle Boy. And you put that claim in first when the trade window opens, and by trade it's pretty much waiver, then you would get that wrestler.
I guess that makes sense. So no, but I mean, like, but okay, so here's the thing. I put in a Britt Baker ad last night.
Oh no. You might have gotten before me. Oh no. Oh, what a twist. What a cruel. I didn't think you'd be paying attention.
But like, is it going to be based on who did it first, or is that's it what I mean. Based yeah. on points?
But that's what I mean. Is it just that's what I mean. Like, is it like a quote unquote normal waiver system where, you know, like the lower you are, the higher waiver priority you have? That was my question, basically. Yeah.
What a disappointment that is. You know what? I believe it's who gets it in first. We're going to find out.
Okay, yeah, we will find out.
You got me, show.
That's funny.
Damn it. Now, Santos, I got to ask you. You have Adam Cole, baby, yep. the name of your stable.
Yep.
Now, Adam Cole lost to Hangman Page in a Texas death match on Rampage. Awesome matchup.
Yep.
But now he's going to be out of the title, world title picture for however long. We could see him, like, we expect obviously still big things, but he might be maybe go away for a couple weeks.
He might.
What are you just going to hold on to Adam Cole?
You know what? I think I was debating it, and I think I'm going to hold on to him and see what happens on Dynamite this week. I don't think that he's going to be off TV. I think he's going to be inserted into another feud maybe, and whatever feud he's in, I believe he's going to keep winning. So I'm going to hold on to him. I'm going to keep the name. I am, however, putting in a claim on somebody, but because I don't know how waivers works, I don't know if I want to say who.
Just tell us, Santos. Just say it.
I'm going to take a chance.
You know, I will also put a bid on.
I'm going to take a chance on Andrade and see if he overcomes Darby this week.
That's really funny.
But we'll see. I don't know. I think Darby's going to win, but Andrade could use a win. So we'll see how that match plays out.
I'll be honest. I put in a claim for Dustin Rhodes as well. So we'll see what all these moves turn out to be.
Do you think he's going to overcome CM Punk?
He is not beating CM Punk show.
CM Punk is going to get beat by Dustin Rhodes. Let's go, Dustin.
You know what? If somebody interferes in that match, show might have that might be the play of the week for show.
That could be a huge – that's risky. That is the flyer. That's like the Braxton Berrios New York Jet wide receiver play. Hail Mary, pick of the week for this wrestling league. Also, hey, if you want to be, like I said, the listener GM, the Outsiders, they currently have Thunder Rosa, who got big points. Their roster is Thunder Rosa, Bobby Fish, Matt Jackson, Jay Lethal, and Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston faces Daniel Garcia on Rampage, so that could go either way. Daniel Garcia might also be an interesting pickup if he's actually on Fuzzy Muzzy's Nick Alberga, who's just getting murdered by in this league. My goodness, just terrible. Shame on you, Nick Alberga, our Sportsnet fantasy hockey play. All right, that's enough for wrestling for now. Show, let's get into our USFL picks. You got it up? You got the roster up?
Click the contest. Unfortunately.
Pizza winners for you.
The listeners. I want proof that you clicked enter before I click enter. I want proof that you entered your 10 cents into this contest, and then I will
100%.
Enter.
I have a $9.70 balance on my DraftKings line. I am going to do it. I will screenshot it for you. My quarterback, Jordan Tamu. I'm picking your Tampa Bay Vipers alum now he's with the Bandits versus the Pittsburgh Maulers. A $10,400 salary. Hefty price for Tamu. I'm doing it.
Give me the rest of your lineup, Andy, then I'll run down mine.
Okay, let's just see here. Now, guys, this is honestly just guessing. Most of these players are either NFL rejects or just quite frankly, guys, you probably never really heard of. Mark, I thought it was maybe Matt Thompson. It is Mark Thompson, the Houston Gamblers. Not going to pick him. I'm going to go. I'm going to put Stevie Scott III. I like that. Stevie Scott III for the Michigan Panthers. $7,400. That's got to be pretty good. Oh, show. We have to pick. This is phenomenal. Sean Poindexter, real name, Sean Poindexter.
It's a great name.
Wow. That's worse than McCorkle for the New Orleans Breakers. I'm picking Poindexter, $9,100. Now I got to start getting value in for my receiver or tight end. They mix them together in the USFL. So I'll pick Devin Gray. That sounds familiar. Devin Gray sounds familiar. I'm going to pick him of Philadelphia, the Stars. Now I need to go cheap on my flex. Let's go London. Running back out of Madre London. Boom. Let's go. We're picking a Pittsburgh guy. I need to go cheap again. We're going, who do we like the sounds of here? Ooh, Ratliff Williams. That sounds fun. $4,900. And a DST. We'll go with, top one is the Panthers. So I'll go Michigan there. I'm going to replace Matliff with 5,000 Mac. We're going to back the Mac show. Brandon Mack of the Maulers, wide receiver. There we go. We got a couple of Pittsburgh guys. That's who I'm doing. Tamu, Scott III, Poindexter, Gray, London, Mack, and Panthers. Let's go.
So because George and the guys will probably come and storm the studios if we are late getting to them because of USFL DraftKings lineups. So I'll just quickly fly through mine. I actually am going Tamu as well because, like you said, a former Viper, got to go with him. I'm going with Larry Rose the Third because I love the third thing third. As a part of his name, yep. as a part of the New Orleans Breakers. He's my running back. Isaiah Zuber and let's see, this guy's name is Lance Lenoir Jr. And I went with Zuber mainly because I know someone named Zuber in real life. Andrew Zuber has come on with me before, so I'm going to go with Zuber. And then I'm going to go with both Pittsburgh running backs, Groshek and London, because the RotoWire analysis says that they're going to do a lot of running. So I'm going to pick both of them and hope that one of them gets a decent amount of rushing yards. And I'll go with the Bandits, because why not? The Bandits, Tampa Bay. Apparently I like Tampa Bay teams that are not named the Lightning.
Maybe you'll get a shirt of a Tampa Bay Bandits hat. Who knows? All right, folks, that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for show for Santos. I'm Andy. You've been listening to The Fantasy Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network. D-Rake!